At the last MAC meeting, we voted for an ad hoc meeting to come up with a proposal. That an ad hoc group would come together and meet and discuss a possible proposal that would be brought back to the MAC to see how the MAC might take a little bit more leadership in terms of the challenges that are happening and youth getting issues. And how that came about was a number of community folks coming to MAC meetings that expressed concern about and with that, the partner problems of increased traffic, increased air pollution. So there's a lot of, compounding problems that continue to affect us along with the development. So a group of folks have been expressing concern about this and expressing interest that the MAC takes to get more leadership. And I'm pretty much sure, correct me if I'm wrong, any MAC members present. I think every MAC member unanimously agreed that that leadership should be taken. So our next step was trying to, get some community folks together and talk about what that structure of this MAC committee, if it might be a committee, might look like, what the roles and responsibilities might be. Look at the current group. I don't know if you're all familiar with. There's a volunteer community group that's been around for many, many years, 30 years, 1975, I believe, it was founded. And it's made up of appointees from the May Valley Neighborhood Association, which doesn't necessarily mean they're people who live in May Valley. They may live in other neighborhoods, but they're appointed by the May Valley Neighborhood Association. They're also appointed by the Chamber of Commerce, and then there are some other seats that are appointed by that body. This volunteer group has been really the main group that has been involved with development and planning issues. And what they do is they receive information from the county on any application for development. That might be a garage expansion, it might be a remodel, it also might be like 100 plus home development. And they receive information from Richmond and the county. So this particular group looks at proposed development for both areas. So part of what our goal is to come together and knowing that information, that this planning and zoning group that currently exists, they take this information and they actually go out and evaluate the proposed site and the proposed development. And they take into consideration, probably zoning codes. And it's really important work. They go out there and they're evaluating things. A lot of work is important. And then what they do is they, either as an individual, depending on the timeline of this development proposal, or they might come together in a meeting again and talk about the proposal as a group, then they formulate our recommendation proposal, either to approve or not approve the development. And that goes to either the City of Richmond or the county, Contra Costa County. So given that, we wanted to do some thinking on, are there any holes, or is there any other missing piece that isn't being addressed? That piece is being addressed. The actual, you know, going out to the site, looking at a proposal, and doing their best to make some sort of recommendation. In looking through the general plan, I don't know how many of you have looked through it. El Sabrani falls under the county's zoning policy section. So basically, all the policies for El Sabrani are fairly technical around housing densities. They're generalities. But the problem with the zoning codes within them, a developer could meet the zoning code, but also build something that's completely not in line with what the community wishes for. So the concern that started getting raised was, is there an overarching community sense of what we want El Sabrani to look like in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years? An overarching general statement within which development proposals can be looked at. And it seems like, as such, there isn't that kind of visual statement. And many general plans have those kinds of statements. So, you know, I've had conversations with planning and zoning members, with Eleanor Lloyd, and they, as a group, have not come up with a statement. It's not necessarily, you know, they're a volunteer group. It's not their charge. Their direction seems to be going into the details of different development proposals. And it seems very fitting that the elected body that represents the community really should take that on and solicit input from the community and try to develop some sort of overarching statement. And, you know, working with P&Z to make sure that their work is within this larger structure that hopefully represents the community. So that was one of them.
About 8 of the meetings I have scheduled to do stuff now. And I have noticed that there is no availability of agendas here. And so obviously there can't be a room for public comment on agenda because it exists. That is important. So I'm going to be planning to open up a room for public comment. And I think I'd like to get some agreement on how the next, how the group of the next meeting lasts up on or perhaps longer.
Okay. Yeah, I got a quick one too. I'm a member of the MAC. You've made comments here that we were okay.
Well, I wanted to just do a brief overview, and then the piece that I wanted to talk about, although it may not be an issue here, we publicly noticed the meeting as an ad hoc meeting, thinking that it was going to be a one-time meeting or two, but temporary, to try to work with community folks to come up with a development proposal or a proposal for this potential committee that would go back to the MAC. We inadvertently, at the MAC meeting, didn't identify specific MAC members. And I think there's a fourth MAC member here and it's a fifth on their way. And the legal definition of an ad hoc meeting is no more than a majority of council members can be present to make comments. So that would mean no more than 3 MAC members can make comments tonight. So that's one thing. And I apologize for that. This is the first time that this incarnation of the MAC has called the ad hoc meeting. So we're figuring out that. I was working with county staff to figure out the legality.
So what you're saying is
no, it's not legal because it's been noticed.
But you have a form of board.
Right. So only 3 is
coming. It brings up the specter of a serial meeting occurring.
That's correct. So,
it is the intent of the council to have a form of the board present in deliberations clearly indicate that there is going to be deliberation here and that there's going to be explaining or talking.
So my mistake was,
so those who cannot be here and participate in that, it's illegal.
So my mistake in that, I was explaining, in not understanding the ad hoc versus a special meeting. What we should have done is, I should have noted it as a special meeting. Because that would have meant that four or more MAC members could be present to make comments. At the MAC meeting, we voted on the ad hoc meeting. There were three members who informally told me that they wished to be present. But I had no way of, you know, commenting. So I apologize for that. I think you are correct.
So you have a choice.
Right.
You can continue the illegal game, which is illegal for many other reasons. I don't need to go into this right now, although if someone wants to come, I'll explain.
Well, I'll explain.
You cannot continue a meeting.
That's
deliberation illegal. You must ask the form of the board to take it to the room.
That's correct.
You can have no more than three MAC members there.
Right. Right.
It cannot be there.
Thank you. I spoke with County Council, and that is true. We can only have three MAC members. More members can be present, but only two members can make comments. That is the confirmation that I got from the council. So, and because we didn't designate MAC members, unfortunately, at the meeting, I don't know how we want to get into, you know, I don't want to ask people to remain silent, but I could do a couple things. Here are our options. That we terminate the meeting and I have to notice the special meeting again. That wouldn't be my preference because I feel like you all, you know, in respect to community folks who may be able to get here, I would like to try to maybe hear some feedback from you. But in any case, that is one option. The second option would be I would ask that the MAC members who are present hold their comments until the next special meeting that I publicly notice so that we can hear at least from community members. We either get some introductions and maybe get some input. And I don't know if you would redo that, but if you would, I mean, that would be my preference.
You've got to put that very serious problem.
I don't think that's legal.
I'm sorry, I need to finish.
Yeah,
I
there's something wrong here.
The issue that you have here is I do not come to the meetings, and that means or to show up at a committee, or to volunteer to be on that committee, because I don't want to spend my time searching for loopholes in the law in order to have a meeting. What I want to do is participate in a reliable, predictable, legal manner so that members of the community, when they come to the meeting, they know that the process is going to be adhered to, not just for the letter of the law, but for the letter of the public trust. And so that the confidence that the community has, the integrity that is spread around in the community about the group, is not only preserved by hands. And unfortunately, this meeting does not do that. It's a great thing. And the fact is, we have five members here, and I have heard this strict form of that. So again, you raise the specter of operating in Sorrento, which is illegal. Because what you're doing is you're going around the necessity of the special meeting notice and the requirements for a forum of the board to meet. Because really what's going on here is, you have a lot of board members here. Not just one, but the alternate count.
Thank you.
So if we're going to continue, I don't want to waste any more time on this. I think that the leadership team, I think the one who is called the council, and you in particular, and I hear one of you from also, want to hear from your constituents. Unfortunately, we can only do so informally tonight, and I support that. Unfortunately, it would be best for public trust if the rest of the council members left and left you and Wendy here, as was originally planned to attend the meeting.
But I hear you, Rick, and out of respect to the council members, because we did not designate that, council members had no way of, like Marilyn.
Yeah, I don't remember Barbara being designated. I remember you and Wendy, that's it.
No, that's the thing. Barbara contacted our chair. So I was scared.
Oh, boy, you guys are incredible.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, I feel like we did not do this in an intentional or conscious way.
But you're doing it nonetheless.
Yeah, and it should be something that the whole MAC, I mean, this is so important. You shouldn't be just select little joyites doing this. It should be the whole MAC community. This is a community thing.
I agree. So the next meeting will be special meeting notice, which will allow for...
And give me enough time to put it in the paper, too. Don't give me 3 days.
Well, I'm putting the MAC chair and the vice chair and the rest of the directors on notice. They were conducting a legal meeting under the Brown Act, under the government ordinance,
which has 25.
Okay. And you are not a drop-off? Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you give us 3 minutes to decide whether council members are going to leave?
Certainly, but I'm now putting my notice at almost 6:30.
It's done. You had advisory board, so how are you getting this?
Sir, I agree with the advisory council.
Mm-hmm. I'm subject to
their office. We're subject to the Brown Act. We're an elected board. We're subject to the Brown Act.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, you are.
Yes, we are.
It's in
we have to go learn it.
It's in our
Yeah, we have
to. You have bylaws.
Yes, we have bylaws.
Everybody in this room has a copy of your bylaws.
I don't know about that.
But I have. Right. Whether it's
formal or just. Why don't we reconvene this as a special meeting so we can get something done?
The chair. You shouldn't even have to do it. The chair has the responsibility for the protocol of the council. And when she can't do it, the vice chair has to do it. And she has to do it.
Well, I came up here to have a meeting. What's the difference of that meeting? I'm a citizen here. I've been here longer than anybody in the room. So where do I go?
That does not violate the law.
I recommend that we do as you suggested, you know, and as Rick suggested, that the rest of the board members leave.
I'm not leaving.
They let you and
you can throw me out, but I'm not leaving.
We let you and Wendy hear the input that you know from the people that are here so they don't waste their time. And you could hold your meeting legally.
Well, I also got confirmation from the county council that legally the council members could be present but not comment. So
I believe that is correct under the law. However, there are other issues with respect to the formation of this committee, functioning as a committee, that are definitely illegal. And I talked to the California First Amendment Coalition, private firm, legal firm, that is held by that coalition, talking about this, and he advised me to warn me that you are holding a meeting at Solana, and it's not the right thing to do for this community.
Well, maybe you're a council
member. Well, shouldn't we err on the side of caution? And shouldn't we err on the side of holding confidence? You don't have my confidence right now. You don't have my trust.
Believe me, that's what she's trying to do. Believe me.
First of all, I want to thank Rick for what he's saying here. And from what I've seen of the MAC meetings, the MAC has, sorry to say this, but it's consistently acted in a manner that does not engender public choice. Thus, I would recommend that you not only try and stick to the letter of law, but as Rick is suggesting, that you set yourselves to a higher standard, a more honorable standard, a standard of conscience that the people of El Sobrano can look up to rather than look down on, which is absolutely the opinion of most people now.
Well, in your opinion.
You're on board with the way, so you're going to do whatever they say.
Everyone who comes to the MAC meetings.
He gave good money to get you elected. He's here to try to get you elected.
Okay, folks, let's try to take this situation and be proactive and move forward in a positive way.
I made a recommendation that, in order to satisfy everybody, that, you know, the rest of us leave. If that's agreeable, Marilyn says she doesn't.
No, I'm not leaving. You can leave if you like. I'm not leaving. I want to know what this woman's up to. I really did. I looked at this vision statement and I cringed. I really did.
Well, good. I mean, we're wanting this
is pretty bad.
This is a wrap. But
without that, then, you know, people have to, if it's legal for us to be here and not say anything, then I think that's the other thing, that we are here and not say anything.
Can community and council okay with that?
I'll speak as a public member. That's all I am anyway. I just speak as a member of the public. Not as an El Sobrano member.
Yeah, you
can't
work that way.
You can't do that. You know you can't do it. And yet you're insistent on keeping this meeting going. I don't understand that. Why are you doing that?
When you tell you, like, you can't help it legally.
Well, all
the
council members
want
to say, really
got
her way out.
I'll stay as long as I don't see
you. I'm willing to leave.
I really don't understand why this MAC must insist, these individual members must insist on behaving like the Richmond City Council. This is the kind of thing they do. I think we don't need to do that.
I think we need to stick to what we're going to do tonight.
What
and maybe, you know, if maybe it's time to hear from the public that they, you know, whether they feel that we should wait and have a special meeting that would fulfill the requirements of everybody.
I would like to
hear from the public.
Members present that serve on the council, whether they be alternates or regular members, that they agree that no decisions will occur here this evening. And if they will take up this matter on the agenda at the next council meeting.
Thank you.
Announcing that this was only a public announcement for two directors that wish to meet their constituents and discuss land use issues. The law is quite clear on this, that no discussion and no deliberation should occur here.
Are we referring to a town hall? That's really the
talking about the law.
Well, the goal of this meeting was not to decide anything. It was to come up with a proposal that would ensure we go back to the MAC for a vote and public comment. So we have no ability to actually move forward with anything significant and substantial.
What I'm telling you is you cannot make a recommendation from the what you can do is take a recording, you can take a transcript of minutes of what's said, and simply record that. You can do that. But it's nothing more than that. There can be no recommendation, no action, predicated on one person. You've got to start over at the math meeting, call social media.
Yeah, because you're not doing it anyway.
Well, that sounds like that may be
that's what you're going to have to do.
The best thing.
Yes.
You take input, which would be good if you're here. And I apologize for but, I mean, really, the best case scenario is probably as far as we would have gotten anyway. And then we'll bring it back to the MAC, vote on having a special meeting approved for the next round. So it's really formulating some sort of proposal. So I'm happy to do that. We've got the board, we can brainstorm and seek information and then do a report back at the next MAC meeting.
I also would like you to say we will never, ever vote on that.
What I will say is I'm human, I'm learning, I'm doing my best, I appreciate this information. I apologize for, you know, having you all come out and having to work things out. But for the first year, try to move forward and hope that you understand. So, is that okay that MAC members will be present and not comment, and then we'll just take public feedback, and then we'll report back, and you're allowing your recording.
Mm-hmm. So when will the MAC members have a chance to have feedback on this incredibly important stuff that you're trying to decide here? I've been trying since 2002 when I first came on here. I've been trying to get the MAC to address the downtown plan, and they have not allowed it to be on there. They have told me they're not interested in talking about it. Now you have this meeting, and I don't have any input, and it's like, can you see how erratic this is?
Well,
how bizarre? I'm an elected member, and I can't give any input?
I think what we'll do is, since it's clear that all the MAC members do want to provide comments, the next meeting that we notice will be a special meeting
which
will allow a majority of council members to speak up.
And it should be recorded.
All council
members. I have a question. Would it make any sense to have a warning about no meeting if you can have two MAC people for a meeting, would it make sense that a MAC person might be coming? If you send down an email from you, if you feel a certain way about it, could you just call your own meeting and get your own sort of people that feel the way you do and talk to
no, them? No, that's not what this is all about.
Another MAC person does.
I'm a member of the MAC, so the MAC itself should address it.
So it would be cool if then the MAC people could all come to their get MAC meetings and stand up and really have a clear vision articulated by their constituents and maybe come to some.
6-1, they probably will. No, they're all for the redevelopment, I'm not, and a lot of people in the community aren't, so 6-1, they'll get it.
No, I mean, that's a good idea. I think council members, they can informally engage constituents to get feedback anywhere, on the street, in the corner shop, the library, but, you know, it's up to each one.
I'm going to know if you're interested in, you know, trying to get something going on specific seems like they're really important subjects to give a lot of public feedback.
So Wendy just walked in. So what we're doing is we're taking just feedback only, information only, no discussion or no deliberation. And then at the next council meeting, we'll get approved a special meeting and notice that next time. So all or four council members be with.
Excuse me. Could I make one clarification?
Sure.
It's my understanding that the purpose of this is not to discuss redevelopment. I'd like to make that very clear so that we can kill that proposal for right now and not spend half the meeting listening to redevelopment issues.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
If this is a brainstorm session, then why would we prevent someone
from... Yeah, well, it's something that's still on the table. It's an important issue in that training.
Yeah. Well, it's mentioned right here in the vision. So,
certainly
it ought to be a topic.
You can pretend like it's not there, but it's there. And everything that's in here has to be done through redevelopment.
That's right. People can have
everything.
But I'm affirming Barbara's comment that that was not the...
Yeah, you're trying to get around talking about it.
So,
there.
Folks, this is our brainstorm. Thanks, Rick, for coming. So, if you have any thoughts, email us. Maybe Susan could be our scribe. So, a couple thoughts, and you all can provide input. So, how do one prioritize brainstorm? A couple things that we were thinking about were ideas for what the roles and responsibilities of this potential vaccine would be in regards to issues around development planning. So that was one thing. I already put out some of the thinking that it seems like the whole is sort of a bigger picture vision statement for the direction that we as a community might want to go in, or what we want us running to look like in 5, 10, 15 years. That was one thought. The second idea that we're hoping to get input for is an actual vision statement. So the two go hand in hand. There's a general plan amendment that's in process at the county for El Cerrante. And we're hoping that this will be a good opportunity for the staff to take the leadership and to request the county incorporate some sort of vision statement that reflects community wants and needs and desires. The thing that I've heard over and over again in meetings that people seem to be in agreement about is really loving and appreciating the rural character of El Cerrante, the unique character of El Cerrante, the diversity of El Cerrante, and nowhere in the current general plan policy is there reference to that, you know, what the community believes in. So two things. Think about if there is a potential vaccinating, what you would like the charge to be. What would you like this committee to possibly address? And maybe we'll do this round robin, and everybody can just have a chance to put a brainstorm idea up on the board so everyone can give one thought before someone speaks twice. Okay. One person.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, you talked about the role of the PNC, but, you know, I'm kind of concerned that we don't have any PNC people here to talk about the role itself. So it seems somewhat one-sided what we're doing. In fact, I think it would better serve the community because of the long-standing nature of PNC. It's a give and take, including them, not just the MAC and the community, but also their need to give and take.
Okay. Do you want to choose a direction?
I want to turn it off. Let's go this way. Go forward.
I'd like to PNC. Go ahead. Okay. Part of my issue is community input. And if you were really trying to take me, but you do a very good job of outreach, and part of that is forming the community properly, forming around the bylaws of the act, and putting it on a schedule in advance enough time that people can change their schedules to get to it. Because otherwise we're just in one circle over and over again, that people are getting left out of the closet, there's going to be decisions made behind closed doors, and it's not going to be the public comment, it's going to be a small group of individuals governing the entire oceanfront town. With that said, my issues are going to be that I would like to eventually have direction here for tracking and holding space. I think those are two of the key issues that govern the entire town. Have repercussions throughout all of the town.
Traffic is obvious. Can you
be
a little more
specific
about open space?
Maintaining or have a plan of maintaining some open space wherever possible. And I'm not sure what activities the chief is doing. But the biggest plan or the biggest issue is going to be traffic and how to manage the traffic and be able to maintain a quality of life. My comments are geared more toward the structure of forming, or the possibility of forming this committee. I really don't have to agree with the many, many substantive issues that many people in this community are really going to call out. So I'm really trying to get that kind of work. I think that any new group, if it is formed, should be able to hear appeals from PD. So if a citizen wants a variance in the driveway and DMV says, no, that citizen comes to the MAC, or they're like, it shouldn't cost them anything, it's free, and that MAC is a decision. I think better than that, some of the issues I'm going to tell you, but it's fine, that DMV should be preserved. The organization has steadfastly, critically and valuably served this community for decades. However, in the process of being going to meetings over the last 17 years, I can tell you for sure that planning and zoning needs to update itself. And it needs critical reforms and changes. Very much for that. To serve the people of the community. Also, just as a very general sort of comment, is that one of the problems that people have brought to me is when they start reading documents and these reports, and even sometimes in newspaper articles, they see these terms like smart growth and human scale and unique character and things like this, and they don't have a clue what they're talking about. So I'd like to request that the MAC and the committee, if it is formed, avoid professional jargon and all its future communication, and instead speak in a lay language so the average person that does not have an early planning background can understand the document.
I have a question for the council. The discussion is looking to see whether a government subcommittee should be formed to provide oversight The concern is that we're getting our own. Around development committees and things. So it wouldn't be, although some of the brainstorm, if they want the committee to provide oversight to the community, they can provide that brainstorm. But that isn't necessarily the interest. So then the outcome would be a statement of criteria that would be a terrible fire. That might be one of because since that's a pressing immediate issue, that might be one of the first things that this committee might take on. But there are many other things. You know, again, looking at what planning and zoning does and thinking about, is there something that's a missing piece that would be very helpful in terms of changing the nature of development?
we made a petition, which is basically a bull, not scientific bull, but it was overwhelming, overwhelmingly opposed to unleashed development. Not that people don't want Nelson Barclay to grow. It should grow. It has to. But I guess, it just has to, it just has to have some sort of limited growth. It just can't be this wild. If it turned out to be like Southern California, it'll happen. Dog catches a lot of money and just the right kind of power and connections, and before you know it, the community will be lost. It will be lost.
Sure, I was just listening to what you were saying and thinking in my head at the same time. We do have a really unique community here. It's almost like we live in a country, but we're totally affected by the city forces all around us, including the growth forces that are going on. And I, too, would like a more focused vision on the redevelopment that's going on and how much growth is there. Really think we have to keep this very carefully because it is a really beautiful, unique community. And everyone has the freedom to be individualistic in the community, but we still have to abide by the pressures that are put on us because this is probably the last option for suburban life in the Bay Area before you get over rich anywhere, really. Before you go over a mountain or a bridge, and people are going to want to come in here and suck it all up. So I'm really concerned about a good, strong idea of how we're going to go, how much we're going to go, and how we're going to keep that balance. This is the uniqueness that we have.
Do you have any particular thoughts personally about how the West, how much that you want to add, or is it more?
How much growth?
Yeah, do you have any personal opinion about what you would
see? Well, I would like to see, I know there could be more homes in our city, it's all over. But I think that we need a certain percentage to be put into open space that will stay forever. So, I don't know if there's some sort of a mathematical equation now for how many homes we're in and how much land there's left, what percentage that would stay. Maybe the developer has to donate that, and that they do sometimes in large parts, but develop it as an open space rather than, playground park. And I'd like to see the comment that is available for middle and low income people as well. We're going to see every single development that goes into the upcoming area.
Well, that was good. Okay. But yeah, specifics will help. Thanks.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't know if we're passing over to
council.
Yeah, I'm here
to listen
to the
council. Okay. I feel that you really should explain what smart growth and all of this type is because the general public doesn't know what it is, and with this big of an impact on El Sobrino Valley, this is going to be a drastic change. You're going from four lanes down to two lanes, or you're going to try. You're going to, what about churches and single-family dwellings? I mean, you're talking about principally going after only unincorporated El Sobrino. And that's all that's left of El Sobrino. So that means a takeover of El Sobrino, takeover of all the single-family housing in unincorporated El Sobrino is the way I see it. And you're going to drive business out because people like me will not be able to get through on San Pablo Road and will lose patience. And that's generally what this green idea is to get rid of people, get rid of cars. But you go here in a car. You live in a house,
you use electricity or gas or whatever, you eat food. So, I mean, you're not any different than me except your ideas are. But I have a property here too, and I have just as much impact or more than you do. I've been here for almost 60 years, and in order to revitalize this valley, you don't want to squash business, take away housing, and make people mad. You don't want people to look down on government. You want to do like what Jim said, is to look up to government, because people generally distrust government.
You've been here for a long time. You have extremely valuable history and perspective of how the economy has changed. Could you offer from your perspective any specific things that you want to picture that you want to see 5, 10, 15 years from now that you hope for? That either exists now that you would like to see more of, or maybe you don't see now that you would like to see at some point? That would be really valuable.
I would like to see less regulation so that, and less taxes, because Richmond is raising their taxes, and I have friends that say they will not shop in Richmond because of the taxes. They'll go to Vallejo, they'll go to Pinole, they'll go anywhere but Richmond. So you're going to lose a segment of people there, and you're going to lose other people there that have to use the San Pablo Dam Road to get home or to go to work on, or to get to the freeway up there past Raley's. It impacts a lot of people. And so you take this, you're going to try to reroute traffic. It's not going to work. You're going to have one fall of an upset community. And I'd like to know also...
Well, I just want to clarify that this decision taken, there's no plan for number of lanes or rerouting traffic or anything. That might have been another plan that
would... Well, this vision, it becomes a plan at some point, a draft.
Right, there's a lot of community input in terms of specifics.
What?
But for the general plan, there are no specifics. It's a very general policy. It's like a guiding statement.
Which mostly has a predetermined outcome. That's why we need more public input, and we do have a constitution and a Bill of Rights in this country, which at least I don't know we did. And it's still supposed to apply to meetings like this gentleman here is talking about. And he's right about all of this. We need to, the public are property owners here. Or they come and they buy things. But especially the property owners, because they have a bigger investment because it's called money. And people come from all over the world. You're seeing foreigners come from everywhere to have what? A piece of the American dream, a piece of land. That's what my grandmother came from Germany for. And my grandfather from Holland, and my great-great-grandparents came from England. They came to get away from the king, and to not be a subject anymore. And all of this vision plan is to place us back under being a subject. And a subject is what? Slaves. And I will not go about what? I will fight it all the way, because this type of a plan is a Marxist plan that squashes public input and private and thoughts even.
Okay, thank you.
And so we have to change that.
Oh yeah, sorry, please.
But lower taxes.
I could be listening to speak for over 3 minutes and nothing's written on it. Oh, there it is. Not true.
Well,
what about two? She said a lot. She said she didn't get out a tremendous amount.
She did. It wasn't relative to the brain.
This woman has a lot to say, and it's not in the
written. And also, we need to cut her off because she gets people off.
Okay, what you can...
What you can do here is just say that I said
we need to explain all of the procedures better to the public. Okay. What about churches and single family housing? Because that's not really a business. Okay. We really need to have more than 3 minutes input from the public because they're property owners.
You didn't say that before. You did say we should get from property owners.
Right. We need to have more than 3 minutes because my property is worth more than 3 minutes. And we need to honestly tell the public what this plan really means to them.
Okay.
Honestly come out and say, look, look folks, this is Agenda 21, and this is going to change how you live.
Clarity of purpose.
Right. What is the, honestly tell us what the purpose is. Because I know what the purpose is, but the public doesn't. And when they find out, they're going to be mad.
Thank you. Well, I mean, can you continue around? You can ask something else. I'm going
to go to all right. There were a couple things I... Thank you, Marcia. Thank you, everyone. You know, I'm looking at this...
No, actually, I'm sorry, Jim, to interrupt. Can I like to go back to the people we passed first?
Sure.
Okay?
Go ahead.
Okay. So either Tony or
I would just say that I don't think that a plan in and of itself means that growth has to happen. I do think it means that the residents in an area are being strategic about what does and doesn't happen. And I will use Richmond as an example. In the city of Richmond, growth does not happen in a strategic way. It happens because someone says, we'll give you a few pennies for this opportunity, instead of our city using our resources to say, what is best in the interest of the city of Richmond around economic development. So having a plan in and of itself can be a tool. And if, as long as citizens get to drive how that tool gets used in terms of saying, we want more businesses, we don't want any more businesses. We want more houses, we don't want any more houses. We want more open space. I would agree with that. I don't think anybody wants more open space. But I don't think that in and of itself, a vision statement has to be a threat. I don't think the vision statement is intended to be a threat. I think it's intended to be a guiding principle for how the residents of the Upper Grand Valley can strategically plan what is wanted for the future. And that includes the right to say no to something, but to not let developers per se come in and just say what we're going to do to the area.
Thank you. Oh, really? Okay. I'll record your... Really, the comment that I had coming in here was about the CMB and how it's structured. I'm really interested in that. And because I don't think it's right that they continue to operate as a self-appointed body, I would like to have them be more accountable to the community. And however that eventually comes out, the way I visualize it is to have more, not to disband CMZ because their work has been valuable and they have a community, they have the institutional memory on the development here. They do good work. There's a lot of work to be done and it needs to be shared between many people. But I think that a committee that would be more responsive and would have a better flow of information would include some MAC members and maybe members of R9. But anyway, from other groups that are accountable to the public. So that's my new for CMZ.
and Tony, you were very articulate. I really agree with you. I think no plan is a plan for continued, what do they call that, Los Angelization of the area. Basically, the zoning plan on the books is so general as to permit just the hodgepodge that we see in places where there's no plan and no feedback allowed. So I just think that if this community wants to have any influence over how the community looks in 10 years, that it should adopt a plan of some sort. I'm not advocating that. I think there does need to be more business for the economic health of the valley and whatever, but I think planning is useful, and I don't think that planning doesn't necessarily mean redevelopment. It certainly doesn't necessarily mean endless domain. It just means you exercise a little bit of control, I guess, over what you put.
I'm going to offer a contrary opinion. Your name is Susan?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I actually, for a long time, the PNC met in violation of the Brown Act because it actually had 4 MAC members on it, and now they're down to 3. But I actually think quite the opposite. I think it ought to be completely separate because certainly if there's a lot of MAC members and other committees there, then really, then the MAC is not a real board of appeal if you have the same folks on both boards. So I would like the two to be completely separate. Now concerning the vision, you know, everyone likes these visions of Roman bells and kind of stuff. And maybe that's great, maybe it's not. Maybe some people don't like it. But in any event, I don't see this as realistic for El Sobrante, given the kind of leadership that the county government has given, given the kind of leadership that El Sobrante, the MAC has given. Our governing bodies are not mature enough for this. So I think before we can even get to this, Our governmental structures need to mature. And so I actually think this is a waste of time at this point.
Well, I think it's a good idea to have a vision statement. No plan is worse than having a bad plan in some way, because no plan creates a lot more havoc there. The problem of the vision statement that I perceived is that I felt it was another backdoor attempt to try to address an issue that has been a hotbed issue. The downtown El Sobrante plan has been approached in several, many different ways through a lot of small meetings that were then after the fact called an official meeting, and I was very worried that this meeting was going to come to that too, because that was one of the items on the vision statement, and that's why I mentioned it, is to make sure that an official meeting that could, in some ways, be looked back at after the fact, that, oh, this is all the items that we want to talk about, this is our vision statement. Ultimately, a role in the vision statement, you are totally correct in it. We have to build the infrastructure first. Everything needs to be followed in proper bylaw fashion. Documentation has to be there so that when we do answer to the general public, to other people that could not attend, that they can then see the paper trail, see what created this vision statement, see where it is going over a many, many months period of time.
Which is
quite a
bit of information,
And yet this community seems so willing
to go down to the downtown and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in that sort of money in order to improve a relatively small number of parcels. And I find that outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on for over 5 years and should have been stopped. The priorities in this community should be determined by the vast majority of the people that live here, not by community development and not by the personal agendas who are seeking to enhance their resumes. I don't want to listen to consultants. I'm through listening to lawyers. I don't like talking to lawyers. I hate it. What I want to listen to are the residents of the community that are showing up at least by the hundreds in public hearing. That's what I think the MAC members should be working on. Again, I'd like to see the vision statement completely redacted. And any future committee that the MAC creates needs to recognize that it is absolutely impossible to look at land use unless you also include a priority of focus on transportation issues in the community. They are inseparable.
Okay, I want to clarify. We got a brain time. Somebody else is taking minutes. I don't feel my job to take minutes up here, although I was kind of scared about not catching anything, so, or every detail. So you're taking minutes. So are we done with the brainstorm portion? Are we still going to have everybody spoken?
Everyone's spoken, and then we're doing a second round. Of course, we'll just reject from you.
You know, just a question to the group, would people feel more comfortable with a working group that works on a vision statement that does regular reporting back to a larger community, you know, community meeting type of format?
That's what the base group will plug on. It's not the near bottom.
We attended that, but we at least noted as an ad hoc meeting, as opposed to a special meeting, which would allow the majority of that to be present on it. So we're moving towards that.
Well, a few people articulated a concern about one or two people writing, you know, the vision. And this is actually kind of a long document to me to be called the vision meeting. The vision might be more like a mission statement or a paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
It does give a lot of general themes, but I think it's good. But maybe we could be more comfortable with a working group that works on, and maybe even people around the table be a part of that working group that works on what vision or a plan outline might look like, and then have some reporting responsibilities to a larger community, so the larger community can react to that, get feedback, express community interest as well. A question to you.
Seems like a bad statement for anybody to have feedback against or make sense. You have a small group that sort of like so kids say build a statement, a rough statement, and then have feedback to that. And you can't just have a promotion and say, I want my street dedicated. I mean, it's like whatever. You can't incorporate all this. You have to get stuff. Next step, a small group of sort of
any other thoughts? Simply about the working group. I was going to say, I would like to understand how, in what context, the general plan was generally referred to when we're talking about
this development. The general plan seems to be like waiting over there, away from day to day life. And I'd like to understand how a lot of time is being spent here. And it's affected a lot of information that is
well, the general plan document, it is kind of far away. It is a very general policy statement. And there are a lot of things that need to happen between that policy statement and actual implementation of the project on the ground that affects people. That being said, it is a guiding compass. So if there is a general number of guidelines, guiding statements, a picture we can paint, a general picture, it must be general, it can't be specific. By how we are, a series of elements. It is a compass point for the direction that things could go in. So it's almost like without that, the code, the zoning code, can be interpreted any number of ways. And it's helpful to have a general statement that
character, or space,
identify certain priorities that the community may have.
Erica, could you answer her question? She asked about whether it will be attached to the general plan, and I saw you nod your head, but you didn't say anything.
It would go before the map to be voted on as to whether it would be part of the general plan or requested
it,
county
board
of
supervisors
to be
incorporated. There you go.
I'd like to ask a question. The effort that you just described for the state, to me, brought me in among your more, and kind of let me know where, generally, where you stand up and what you, as an app person, expect for the health problem. And would it be unreasonable that all the committees, maybe all the MAC people currently that are on there might write maybe more, you say, a paragraph, but not that much of your and so there would be a written document that the other math people write their ideal vision of how to function. So we as a public can get a feel for what everybody that does kind of control stuff, what direction you want to go in. And then people that feel that want to align themselves with this person or that, it might encourage community coming in, they know who to go talk with, and it might further some sort of connection with the public.
In 2003, the meeting for health.
Sorry, I'm going to just speak for a minute. I just wanted to let people know that we didn't necessarily write this document personally. What we did is we went back and we looked at different vision statements that had come from the community that had been documented in other places, but never really compiled. And we were just feeling that it would be a shame that none of these vision statements came to be. They're in a bunch of different documents. Community members met for a number of years to develop them, a couple different task forces, and other topics. So it was more an attempt to compile existing vision statements and also look at some currently updated general plans of recently in different communities to look at some of the more current language, concepts, formats that sort of address current issues around planning, around health. So it doesn't necessarily reflect
so they did come from the public, like the Charette in 2003.
Charette, lanes and transportation plan and life security.
task force committees that met over, you know, a couple of years.
So they're not really conjured up for personal resume, or they came from some previous meetings that the public contributed to.
Right.
I would like to comment on this. As Rick still, I want to comment on this because as Rick so importantly stated, all of these
we're not meant to be a brainstorm without really
coming to build deliberation. Yes, that's correct, and inaccuracy in the statement. So as Rick stated, all of these visions have a huge missing spot, which is the fact that they ignore the organization of the community. So in fact, it was likely just a very small ethnic group that actually formed these. So, and that's, I mean, if they ignore the organization of the community, you can't say that it really represents the community, regardless of the fact that you pulled it from all these different sources.
Because everybody lives here wasn't at the meeting, is that
important?
I mean,
it's ignored the whole residential main.
You're in all the meetings?
Yes.
Sorry.
From all the meetings, all the people that came were represented, either elected by the people in Elton County, and a lot of them were, and a lot of people are the people that come to all the meetings and talk about it. It's really hard to get every 99% of the opinion into even 20 different documents that you collect over 15 years. That's not what I want to say. What I really wanted to say about this document here is that I think it's a really good idea to have a general vision statement, but I think that this should be taken as a starting point for the vision, which I think is what the plan is, right? And to have a lot of community input, and that will be happening. And if this is not a legal document in any sense of the word, it's just an idea of how we want the community to move forward. And it will move forward. And, you know, we can argue about certain point forever and ever, but it still isn't going to happen. And it's good to see them happen the way the community wants them to happen. I don't think anybody here wants to run the community. I think it's a communal thing. And I think, you know, when we have larger group meetings and places out for it, it'd be nice if we could mail a copy to everybody who lives here and say, you know, read this. Make your notes, make your changes, write one yourself, so bring it to the meeting and talk about it.
And we'll, compile
everything into a final vision.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention, I have a hearing problem. And that's one of the reasons I have a tape recorder. But I know that there's a lot of other people that come to the meetings, and they might not say that they can't hear you. But I know that by asking different people what different people have said, they'll say, I don't know, because I couldn't hear. So I think that you need to have a microphone, you know, when you're talking to the public so that everyone can be able to hear what you're saying and be able to reasonably come back with any comments if needed, rather than to go on half-cocked because they can't hear what you're saying, everything you're saying, you know what I'm saying? And it would make it a whole lot better for the meetings. And also, just a quickie, St. Louis and Chattanooga are two cities that have vision statements just like this. They're farther ahead than El Sobrano or Richmond. And they're looking outward at 2015 and 2012. And Santa Cruz is another one. And they're all over the country, is vision statements. So this isn't really anything new. That's why I said you have to really honestly address the public and really explain to them what you mean, rather than to go undercover like all these other little groups have done. Mm-hmm. And then by the time the public finds out what's happened, it's too late. You know, I know what's going on, and I won't stand for it. We have to have some reasonable things going on in the community with property owners and business owners and everyone else, rather than to have an end run around all of us.
Well, we will continue to hold public hearings meetings.
Thank you.
And please, everybody. Maybe we'll have a microphone.
Thank you.
I know how we'll do that, but.
Thank you.
Got that? Okay, so I just want to note that it's 7:30 now. So, maybe it'd be a good time to sort of wrap up and think about next steps, next meeting. The capital page is look through all your comments and try to put them in some kind of form that could be presented to the the next meeting. And the next meeting will be noticed as a special meeting. So hopefully we'll be able to move into more question and answer or information.
So the next meeting be noticed in further advance. I would like to come to the meeting, but I have a blank. I have business trips. I will gladly change those trips to the long meeting. I didn't know what business up there in the newspaper.
Right. Well, I think by law, we must do it 72 hours in advance.
Actually, 96.
And 96.
Again, it goes the law or what really is going beyond the law and helping.
If you want to give me your email, I'll let you know as soon as I find out. I don't usually know very well either, but I'll let you know.
Look,
trust my input.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And, I mean, the hope would be that we would be able to get this
Right.
Did everybody put their, I don't know if everybody's email, but whoever did sign and leave their phone number, will be contacted about the next meeting.
My point is not to have to be here, but rather to assist you, and you are my resident. You just stated that there might be further deliberations. I want to remind you that there will be no deliberations that we can agree to. That's fine. That's not what you said. The other thing is that earlier you had said that this information would be proposed to the MAC. And that is not what we agreed to. What we agreed to was that you were going to hand Wendy, because both of you can do that. Wants to be one of the other fine. We'll merely take this information back, FYI, to the council.
That's
not for action.
That's correct.
There'll be no action.
That's right.
But you can present it to the council as a report, and it will just be merely accepted and no action taken.
That's correct.
Okay, that's what we agree.
Right, that's my understanding.
If I might suggest that we could get a verbatim transcript of this so that there's no information lost in the compensation process.
Okay, and maybe everybody can just take a look at their piece and ask if you can request it. If there's something you want to add, you can just go up and do that. So we record what you meant.
I have a website that's going to have the minutes on it.
Okay.
So I've already got some minutes.
Then we can all go to be able to look at agendas, look at notes from a meeting.
I got all kind of good stuff on there.
Have that available. It's not really necessarily appropriate to have it privately, although I'm glad that one individual has it, but if it was done by the MAC and supported by a staff person on the MAC or stuff, maybe we'll talk about that.
Put an E on it.
And
what will
you get that?
Yeah, but
you want to get your website?
It's saveelsabrandy.com or net. And it's actually, we're going to get streaming audio of these recordings. We're downloading so you can listen to them. And I'll be posting the agendas if I can get them. And I'll be posting the minutes.
I think the point is to make visually tonight
that the MAC needs to focus on its own structure before it proceeds with anything subsequent like that. It is unfortunate that currently there is evidence that our representatives do not understand the law of privacy and function. And that is of absolutely critical importance to me as an independent member. More specifically, it is a critical thing to me because for the last 5 years, someone or some group has been trying to make changes to the dam road in downtown that myself, with my transportation experience, knows will divert traffic up and down the river by the thousands. And there has been no attempt by any of these groups to study that. And I've been complaining about it repeatedly for over 7 years. The council, this bad council, has done nothing about this complaint. I sent a letter to the council back in February detailing these issues. It is now September, and the council has yet to deal with my letter. This is absolutely unacceptable. I'm a resident. I've lived here for 17 years. I was fired by state and local government when they refused to listen to me. If you want my truck back, you can get it. You're going to have to start listening to me, and you're going to have to start doing something about what I'm saying.
I am not very familiar with how the last 5 years of conversations have been about development. Just listening tonight, it seems there are a lot of residents who don't want anything to change. You know, I was mainly close to any survey data on what citizens and officers in the area have asked for from the county council. And if there is a working group, I would like to suggest that we follow the gentleman's suggestion that that working group have stakeholders, particularly stakeholders who look at transportation. Stakeholders who have experience around the infrastructure in terms of roads and sidewalks. That there be stakeholders from the business community, stakeholders from the environmental community in terms of protective of the state, and stakeholders from the perspective of homeowners, what the homeowners and residents are interested in. If there is a working group that has very diverse stakeholders who can speak from a place of expertise about things that are important to all the stakeholders in this area.
Could you explain what you mean by stakeholders and who that involves?
If there's a working group that would, if the MAC and the Beauty of the Brain decides they want a plan for a vision, that there would be some type of a committee that would have someone on that committee that experience. A stakeholder would be someone who's been a transportation engineer, or someone who is just familiar with transportation. Has a lot of experience and could determine, as the gentleman said, how much transit, how many cars are coming to the area, or maybe someone who has experience in dealing with streets and improving roads and sidewalks. That's what I meant by stakeholders. Just people who have experience, whether it's formal or informal, but they have experience and can offer insight about the needs of all the people who use this area and live in this area.
No, my interpretation of a stakeholder is everybody that would be involved in the process or affects with the process.
Correct.
Not just the engineers or government or any of that.
Correct. I understand you. Everyone in this room is a stakeholder, and I would use that term broadly.
Yeah, well, there's another jargon term that needs to be explained to the public.
I appreciate you challenging me on that, and I just meant interested parties, interested people who have an interest in what happens here. Who can.
The whole town at large, not just in the community. Everybody.
Well,
the mayor, the capital, I
agree with you. Everyone who lives here and is an interested person, I just imagine there was going to be a working group that puts something together for the whole. The larger interested person groups than you, a working group might be easier to do that way.
Well, those types of working groups have a tendency to bring about a predetermined outcome that the public doesn't have a clue that's happening until it's already on the docket. I'm not
advocating
for work. No, I understand that, but that's what, you know, all of these working groups, draft plan, it generally has a predetermined outcome. That's where I have a problem with most of this stuff, because the public
doesn't know. I'm beginning with a clear book by the government's comments that the plan of the past and the impact included the sidewalk and street, and I actually thought that was a pretty good observation. But it really made me think that if something that happens, they had to have a very broad group of people from different perspectives to make sure that nothing gets left out.
But in order to have sidewalks, because if you did that, and you're going to take up sections of streets in lots of areas, then also you take up some sections of people's front yards. So you've got ancient streets and you've got newer streets.
That's what you learn when you're looking
at somebody with articulate. Right. So, you know, it's just something that just can't be done that way.
Okay. Fairly into this community about 5.5 years. I've already been to quite a few meetings regarding the downtown planning and future vision of Stress Upon Day, and invited the whole community. We sent out letters. You know, if you want to come down and write up on the wall what your ideas are, I'm a new recognizer. You just got to
Well, you know, since before I was born, Richmond's been trying to take over Elsa Brain. And so we've been a battle for many, many years. I remember as a little girl growing up. And I've seen big cities of Elsa Brain just being gobbled up for Richmond. And that's just what's left now of unincorporated Elsa Brain. And
by the way, you seem to be more than have more of an advocacy policy orientation. I mean, I think a lot of us, well, we have a lot of differences, share that, you know.
Being and in the spirit.
That's basically, so, when I was growing up, that's what I saw. One little segment, oh, it's Richmond now, it's not Elsa Brady.
How do you think you stop that?
Get rid of the D&D.
I don't think
you can. It's not them. Yes, it is. Come on.
Well, you have to have more accountability upstairs.
If you had zoning that allows you to stop it, that's required to appoint people.
There's too much zoning. I mean, there's reasonable zoning. There's too much. There's
zoning.
If
zoning is how you prevent Richmond from gobbling up more, maybe we should be talking about zoning.
I'm going to just take a comment from Richmond.
I tried to listen to everybody who was saying, I'm having a hard time because we've been speaking here for the last 5 years and everything goes. I thought I heard someone say that, yeah, I've already lost. They said something like, well, what should we do now, or what's the next step, or something like that, and give them come back. Or what's the solution, or something like that. The solution 10 years ago was the Farmers Council. And it worked like a champ. We came out of starting the gallery. One of the first things that we did that really caught the attention of the community was cleaning up this library. And that was a very big deal. Because we had people coming to meetings, guys just like us, coming to a meeting, and we were coming into contact with gamblers. We were pitching things out here for their money, and it got violent at times. We had people out here doing things that I'm not going to go into the detail of them, but I'll just say that they were sexually explicit. We had violence, other forms of violence out here. We had people breaking glass all over the map. We couldn't even have a lock on at the time, so I'm going to drive in here. The library employees were being threatened by some of these people. We had 8-year-old kids coming down in the middle of the day on the little BMX bike smoking marijuana right back here. We had very unfortunate people who, for some reason, felt that this was a good place to hang out and sleep, and we've got each other museums and maybe hired. Needless to say, there were a lot of people in this community who didn't even know about it. Because the fact is, very few people know that this library is first out. But that's the truth, and
And we got it all cleaned up. And although I think it was totally serendipitous, along comes this group called the Aquatic Outreach Institute. Here's about all this activity here. And the fire group gets going, and all of a sudden you have this beautiful garden up here. I mean, that's the kind of progression that the council is capable of, and the kind of benefit that can take place here in this town. And I like to see that continue. But for that to happen, the public has to trust.
Well, thank you, everyone, for coming. Thank you, Susan, for joining. Thank you to the council members for being willing to observe, so we could keep some comments and feedback. And please, everyone, just, you know, add things to your statement so we get an accurate. Thanks for coming.
Susan, the sentence is actually